The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Bears Coaches Show here live from PNC Studios in Hallis Hall with Bears head coach John Fox. We're with you until 7:30 tonight. Coach with us until the top of the hour. Good evening. How you doing?
Doing okay. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm not bad. Trying to figure out yesterday. Man, it was right there for the taking, wasn't it?
Yeah, we've had a few of them, but no question we had that one in our hands, and no pun intended, but...
that is a storyline, right?
Yeah, no doubt. But, you know, the guys fought. We're down 21-7. You know, I think, you know, our fans are so great. They, you know, I think it kind of dwindled a little bit. But, you know, everybody that stayed, I think, saw at least an exciting ending.
Right. Competitive. And I guess in this situation, obviously, everybody wants the wins, but they want you to competitive to the finish. Last 2 weeks, competitive to the finish, had a chance to win both games or at least tie a game in New York.
Yeah, these guys, you know, we've got good leadership in that locker room, and you know, I think they've been through a lot, but they've kept fighting and kept a positive attitude, and you know, that kind of preparation, it carries over into the game.
You lived it yesterday, you watched it today. Was it hard to watch when you know a play or two you got to win?
Well, I mean, that's the National Football League. You know, I think you know, this is a results-oriented business, and unfortunately, the results or the outcomes, you know, our record at 2-9 doesn't show it. But, you know, I think, you know, a lot of those games, I mean, a lot of these games are close, and they come down to about 4 or 5 plays, and this one was no different.
Danny Trevathan goes down. This player means a lot to you, doesn't he? For
no
a lot
doubt.
Of reasons.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think, you know, he's had a rough go of it. He had the thumb injury that required surgery, missed some time, and then... you know, just started getting back into the flow, and then, you know, he ruptures his patella tendon, which, you know, that's pretty serious. It'll require surgery, you know, probably in the next week or so once the swelling calms. But he'll start his rehab process, but be ready for next season.
A player like that who's had multiple injuries to overcome like he did a couple of years ago for you in Denver, and I think of Zach Miller when I think about this. I actually ran into his wife yesterday at the game, and it's just that slumped shoulder feeling of, man, we got to go through this again to get to where we need to be. How challenging is that for any person, let alone a National Football League player, and knowing he loves this game and he has teammates he loves, he became somebody you wanted so badly, you invested in him here, he feels an obligation to the organization, but it's still not simple.
No, I think, you know, all the emotional things that you mentioned aside, I think, you know, just the physical element. I mean, you know, getting the surgery, going through that whole process, being in a hospital, you know, and that's, you know, that's hard, no doubt. There's pain involved. You know, you get back to a normal life at home as far as at least sleeping at home, and then you start the rehab process, and it's very long and grueling, and you know, a lot of pain, a lot of painful days, you know, ahead of them.
I know people that may have a very negative view on it because, well, they don't really care because they're getting paid to do this. This is part of their profession. I invite you to go on Twitter, which I don't often say, but some guys are putting pictures of what it looks like, what their injury fit looks like, the black and blue and the ugliness of it. I know Kyle Long has done it. Connor Shaw did it, and then showing his rehab and how he's getting through it. It's flat out nasty. It's nasty looking. I mean, these
guys.
Yeah,
when you look down and it's yours, it's even it's even more, I don't know, more ugly. But,
yeah.
No, I think, you know, I have a lot of respect for what these guys do and always have. And trust me, you know, I know people look at salaries and all this stuff. They earn every penny. And the injury part of it is, you know, one of the big reasons. You know, there's guys that... you know, have some grueling injuries that are very, very hard to come back from.
All right, 15 on IR. Many of you guys you were counting on to have this team improve from a year ago. How do you address it with your team? I know the whole cliche of next man up and all that is not just cliche, it's reality. But how do you address that woe is me feeling like, oh, my God, we're losing everybody? How do you address it to your team when you stand before them?
Well, I think, you know, you look at the last 2 weeks, you know, I don't think anybody gave us much of a shot. You know, you go to New York and you play, you know, a very, very good New York Giants team. And then Same thing with Tennessee. You know, they come in and, you know, they've been competitive all season. They've got a very high pick playing quarterback, and, you know, they have a good football team. And, you know, you, the guys you send out there, I mean, you know, a la Matt Barkley, that's his first NFL start. You know, that doesn't happen very often. You know, he had 400 yards of pass offense and could have very easily won the game. I don't know how many times that's even been done in the National Football League. So they get it. You know, I think everybody starts off as a nobody. You know, I've seen guys that, you know, were virtual unknowns and then all of a sudden become stars. And all these guys are capable, and I think they understand that, and they're getting opportunities.
To me, the challenging thing about this part of the season, when things haven't gone well record-wise and you start losing guys later in a season that could trickle into the next season, you don't want it to hurt you twice, you know? I mean, that's the, you can't do anything about it. You can't stop playing guys. But, man, you hope it certainly doesn't happen. I mean, even with Danny going into next year.
Well, I think, you know, these guys have been great all year, and we've had our share of you know, some guys with, you know, that we lose, whether it's due to injury or suspension. You know, I think, you know, but it does give guys opportunities and you get a chance to develop them. Sometimes a guy, you know, Jeremy Langford gets hurt early in the year. We put in this kid, Jordan Howard, you know, so it's, you know, same thing with, you know, you take Matt Barkley, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Jay comes back, he gets hurt and, you know, Matt Barkley, I mean, that's a pretty good first outing, you know, in the National Football League. So who knows where this goes? And, you know, I think they understand that and they believe in it, and that's why they'll keep competing.
We'll talk about Matt Barkley in our next segment, but I do want to – you brought up Jordan Howard because now he's the ninth leading rusher in the National Football League. Can you have envisioned that back at mini camps?
No.
When he was battling his own aches and pains?
Yeah, no, and I can promise you he didn't either, you know. So, you know, you guys got to grow up fast, and when they get an opportunity to start and play in a football game – you know, Daniel Brown, I mean, he was the first time he got, you know, was yesterday. And, you know, I had a few good catches and made some good plays. And
yeah, good,
you know,
practice now, last week.
Yes, he did. And, you know, that's how you have good games, with good practice.
People were literally texting me, who is this guy? You know, some guy made a crack. Is this Daniel Boone? I know this is Daniel Brown. Daniel Brown.
His coonskin hat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, yeah. But, I mean, he looked the part. You know, he's a college receiver, converted to a tight end. Happens all the time. But, yes, he's one of your new Bears right now. By the way, Howard is also tied for third in the league with runs of 10 yards or more with DeMarco Murray, who's had a great year. This is how good Jordan Howard and his offensive line, tight ends, running backs have blocked for him.
No doubt. You know, I think you look at the job Eric Cush started left guard and, you know, Ted Larson at right guard. It was good to get Bobby Massey back, who we missed in the New York game. But, you know, overall, I think our offensive line protected and did a good job that helped Matt Barkley have the kind of day he had.
Dropped 54 times to throw. That was stunning. For your first NFL start, he's never going to forget that then. He almost, in three-plus years of playing before he got here, only threw 65 passes. So he almost did it in one game. I know we're talking about a lot of minutiae and stuff like that. The wins are the what matters, but hey, there's some bright spots too. We'll talk about it more.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Takes the snap, looking to throw, sets, winds up, throws, back of the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown Bears! On a strike to Marquise Wilson.
There is Matt Barkley's throw to Marquise, one of his three touchdown throws. Our Xfinity Player of the Game brought to you by Xfinity. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at Chicago Bears Network Studios at PNC Studios. Jeff Joniak and John Fox. So let's dig into Matt Barkley's performance. We touched on it in our last segment. Drops aside, I mean, it would have been a high completion percentage game. He threw three touchdowns. He grew from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, which is fabulous because a lot of guys would have gone in the tank maybe with two interceptions. So that tells me he's been around a little bit. Like you said, back in, during the week, you know, the guy played at USC at a high level, would have been an extremely high draft pick, maybe if not for a senior injury. So he has talent. He's been around here just a short time. But overall, when you see a player ascend through a game, what goes through your head? How do you evaluate that?
Well, you know, he doesn't blink. You know, he's been in big spots. He doesn't get real high or low, very even-keeled. He was great with his teammates. You know, even before he came to Coach Ragone, his quarterback coach, he would go to the players, whether it was the O-line, it was a protection issue, or maybe the running backs, you know, or even the receivers, you know, about particular calls or adjustments. But very, very, very mature for his playing time at this point in his career. Although I was very impressed by him. And even at the end, to go no huddle, you know, that even puts more pressure on the quarterback to communicate, to get his own reads and things clear in his own mind. I thought was pretty impressive.
He says you like that. He liked the up-tempo. It was up his alley a little bit.
Yeah, no,
did
I think,
you know that going in?
Yeah, we kind of did know that. You know, we had no idea we would be throwing the ball 54 times, but I'll admit to that. That was not the game plan going in. But as it turned out, he operated and kept his poise under pressure very well.
I try to understand this because playing with those guys, and you mentioned Marquise, and Bellamy doesn't play a ton at receiver over the course of the year. You know, you've got Cam out there. You got Daniel Brown. You got Logan Paulson. The backs have been around. But you got two new guards. You got a lot of moving. I think two guys started the season in the starting lineup that played on offense in the starting lineup, starting 11 yesterday. And then a quarterback who's never started a game before in the National Football League. I don't care how much experience you have, you don't know what you're really going to get. So the game goes on. He's going for the win. Some of those were dart throws, perfect throws. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he really did, you know, spin it pretty good as far as putting it in the right spots. And his accuracy is very good. I mean, a couple times we had, you know, protection breakdowns. And, I mean, he hung in there, too, because he got blasted a couple times. But he's a bigger body. He's not afraid. He stood in there and delivered good balls under that kind of pressure.
Tells you he did his homework, too, right?
Oh, yeah. He worked very hard. You know, I think, you know, that whole room. I mean, we've got six quarterbacks in our meeting room now, more than I've ever seen before, you know, between guys on IR and, you know, practice squad. So, it's unique. They're all good guys. I mean, even Jay, he helped in all the preparation. You know, he was very involved on the sideline as far as communication. And, you know, it's a unique group. And I think it was a unique performance by Matt Barkley.
The picks, when you look at those on tape, inexperience.
Yeah,
timing.
I think just poor decisions. I mean, he flushed. He did a good job of breaking out. This is on the second one. You know, throwing the ball in the right corner of the end zone, just a little bit behind. Probably should have just airmailed it. But those are things that he'll learn. I think, you know, in the first one, they both were in a red area, which is bad and, you know, could be looked at as the difference in the game. But, you know, he forced the ball inside Wesley Woodyard, made a good play on it. You really needed to be outside on that play against that coverage.
All right, you also admire Bellamy as a player, tough kid. I believe, didn't he talk to the team before the game?
Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, and nobody feels worse on the planet, I can promise you, because he's a great teammate. He's very highly respected in that locker room. And, you know, he just, I mean, he came close to redeeming himself with a blocked punt, you know, on that last punt. He was giving it everything he had. And, you know, what can you say? You know, sometimes things happen, but it's not one play.
No.
I mean, there were plenty of other opportunities. And then, you know, execution for 60 minutes has been our bugaboo. And it's, you know, it's been our problem all season. That's why our record is where it is. And, you know, I'd like to see us get that cleaned up over here over the next five games.
I'd throw it to him again because I don't think it'll happen again.
No, I think, you know, he made some good plays. I mean, it wasn't every play was bad. He made a lot of good plays, made some key catches, and he will move him forward, too.
Do you address that with the team in the meeting?
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to finishing, you know, whether it's, you don't know even guys are going to get open. At least we got open. All right, now you got to catch the ball. So it's... You know, there's a start and a finish to every play, and we just have to learn to finish better and more consistently.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Back to throw, Barkley winds up, throws into the end zone. Brown's got it for the touchdown!
Wow.
Touchdown, Bears! Low throw, he sucked it in on Avery Williamson. Daniel Brown, the former Raven, with his first Bears touchdown.
And first career touchdown. First career touchdown throw by Barkley. First catch for Daniel Brown. Jeff Joniak along with John Fox here at the Bears Coaches Show at PNC Studios at Atlas Hall. A few more minutes with the head coach. What do you know about him?
Well, he was a receiver. We claimed him, you know, off their practice squad. You know, he was back and forth on the active roster and whatnot. First time around, you know, they kind of elevated him, and we had another roster spot later a couple weeks ago, and we got him.
Swiped him a little bit.
Yep.
So you still were able to run your three tight end package, which was good the week before. You had Logan Paulson, you had him, Ben Broniker, all got involved in the game. how they do in helping out the run game. Like, Zach Miller was really doing a good job in that regard.
Yeah, I think, you know, all three of them stepped up. And, you know, we ran the ball efficiently. I think we were probably right at 100 yards. I don't remember exactly, but it was efficient. Jordan Howard just keeps making plays. We didn't block them all perfect, but enough of them.
The onside kick. I right before it happened, I said, somebody's got to make a big – something big's got to happen outside of offense, maybe be the spark. And then I see this on the approach. I'm like, oh, this could be it. It was – it doesn't happen. I mean, I think 5 out of 45 onside kicks have been successful this year, 3 against the Titans now. Yeah, so you guys did your homework on that one.
Yeah, we had it up for a couple of weeks, and you know, it was a little bit risky because you know their offense had done pretty well moving the ball on us, and but that was very well executed. Everybody involved, I think Jeff Rogers, our special teams coordinator, it oiled it up pretty good. It looked good in Friday in practice, and it was a good opportunity. We ended up throwing the interception. On that drive, we were down there pretty tight, but at least I think it sparked our football team. It said that we were going to be aggressive.
Well, that's just it. Did you do that for that part of it too?
No doubt. The first half obviously didn't go very well at 21-7. So we definitely had to pick up our pace a little bit in the second half, and I think it built a little bit of confidence.
We didn't talk about the defense yet. There were a couple of second half stands though. That allowed you to have the opportunity to start the comeback that were important. Couple 3-and-outs. Again, it points to a team that's showing no quit, they have some resolve here. And I think that's a big part of this story for the rest of the season.
Well, no doubt. I think the culture and attitude, that locker room, the kind of guys we have, I think, I know our record isn't showing it, but we are making progress in that area. I think, defensively, we held them to 6 points in the second half. And, that's far cry better than the 21 we gave up in the first.
Craven LeBlanc, you've talked about him many times. He's starting on the outside for you. He led the team in tackles yesterday, but one in particular really caught my attention because, correct me if I'm wrong, against the Titans, they force your corners to tackle.
No doubt. Yeah,
and the 245-pound Derrick Henry is no picnic to bring down. And
I think he had both arms and his legs wrapped
around Derrick Henry's arm. Like a wrestling move.
Yeah, but... it was still a good tackle, and they've done that a lot. They've done it to a lot of people. They're the third-ranked rushing offense in the National Football League, the Titans. So, they got two pretty big backs at you that have good size, good length. And, Craven, probably not our biggest guy on the team, but he's got a lot of heart, and he did a great job making that tackle.
But that's the kind of guy you want, right? That's
no doubt.
If he's not willing... You can't use him.
Yeah, he's ultra competitive, and he's worked at it, and he was new to us, at the beginning of the season, and he's spent a lot of, extra hours, with the coaches in that film room, and he's going to be a good football player moving forward.
With Trevathan out, you've got options with guys that have playing time, so it's not like you're going to be sticking another rookie in there. So whoever it's going to be, they have experience, right?
That'll help. I think Nick, Kwiatkowski we're talking about, that replaced actually Jarrell, in this game. He started off a little slow, but he finished and made some good plays. He was part of a lot of those 3-and-outs at the end. So he stepped in, got some experience. Jonathan Anderson and John Timu are guys that have played for us, that had the opportunity. We'll look at them this week in preparation, but, somebody's going to have to step up for Danny Trevathan.
I know people were asking you today about the pass pressure or, they didn't get to the quarterback and so forth. What do you think about that? I mean, this quarterback gets rid of the ball quickly. You got to be a little bit quiet a little bit because he can move on you and take it 60 yards for a touchdown. So there were a lot of factors in that yesterday.
Well, I think number one is they've got 3 high picks in the offensive line. They're pretty good at
that. Conklin's
pass
pretty
protection.
Good, right?
Yeah. Luan's a Pro Bowler. Marcus is an outstanding athlete. I think you saw a couple scrambles. In some cases in that area, we missed, a guy like Leonard Floyd, to be on the field. He's one of our faster guys. It's not an excuse. It's just reality, and you got to be careful and keep your lane. Otherwise, he can really drive you crazy. But I think the longest run of the day might have been a read option by him, right up the middle. But he's got extremely good speed for a quarterback. I think that kind of affects your rush some.
Now you got Kaepernick, same story. He's looking and playing pretty well.
Yeah, very similar. I think the guys around him. Again, every one of these takes on a different personality, but. Collins, an outstanding athlete, and we are hoping to have Leonard Floyd back this week. So we'll see how that goes through the protocol. But like I said, we'll have new people. They've got new and different people. It'll be a completely different game plan. And they do the read option some as part of their offense. But we will have to address that. I'm sure they'll copy some of the things the Titans did.
And if they haven't played a Chip Kelly team, they run the most plays in the NFL. They're doing it again. Lowest time of possession offensively. Their defense is on the field the longest of any team in the league. So you got to prep your team for that.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, so they're no huddle. They're fast paced a little bit. We saw it a couple weeks ago against the Giants. Different kind of run game, but the up-tempo, fast-paced, no huddle, something that we'll definitely see again this week.
All right, John, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Jeff.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox, and this hour featuring assistant coaches Rich Hightower and Sean Desai. Brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Squibbing it, onside kick, bounce back to the Bears. It's covered up by the Bears at the 43-yard line by Adrian Amos.
And the onside kick to start the second half leads us into the second half of our Bear Coaches Show here at Hallis Hall at PNC Studios. Good evening, everybody. We heard from Coach Fox in the first half hour. You hear a little more at the bottom of the hour. We'll replay the first segment, but joined now by two assistant coaches, Sean Desai and Richard Hightower. Good evening, fellas. How you doing?
Good evening, Jeff.
The assistant special teams coach and defensive quality coach who helps out on special teams and linebackers. And tell us about that onside kick, because the Bears needed a spark. And even though it worked and it didn't lead to points, Coach Fox thinks it really helped the second half and the whole mindset of the team that, you know what, we still believe in you.
Yeah, I would agree with Coach Fox on that. I really, really, really thought it was a gutsy call by Coach. He did a great job. He makes the call on that. Obviously, Jeff designs it, and we work on it over and over, and we've had it up for weeks. And he just picked the perfect time to call it, and kudos to the guys. They executed it well, and I was just happy for them. You know, they worked so hard on that over the last couple of weeks, and it came to fruition for them, so that was good.
On a play like that, because when coaches do explain that in interviews after it happens and so forth, I'm not certain people understand what it means when you've had it up for weeks. How many times do you rep something like that in terms of volume? And you have it in your hip pocket every game, but you just need the perfect situation, right? That's what they're trying to say.
That's correct. I think, you know, we take our time and look around the league, and, you know, we go through something called specials, which are plays like you saw, the onside kick, or different fakes and different things that help the team. That's Jeff's and my job, you know, is basically to find things, come up with good things, and it's coach's call to make that call. And again, those guys did a great job. It's hats off to those guys. They did a great job, and I was just happy to be a part of it and happy it helped the team at that time spark them. So,
you know, as assistants to your position coaches and your side of the ball, you guys do a ton of research, too, on the side, don't you, for things just like this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of our primary roles, is to kind of be ahead of the curve a little bit with our opponents and scouting them and just trying to help our staff out so we can help the players out, you know, when it's time to execute.
So after the fact, I go and look it up. No team has had more onside kicks against them than Tennessee. Could be circumstances because of games and they have big leads and whatnot, but maybe not. You could tell me better, but that's the third time it's worked against the Tennessee Titans out of six times this year.
Wow, that's an interesting fact. I didn't know that.
I'm just glad it worked for us.
Yeah, that's most important.
Yeah.
Overall, in the league, there's only been five that it's worked. It's 11% chance of that working. So, but
right.
The time
You're
of the
correct.
Game is the key. I mean, that's the element of surprise.
Yeah.
And it definitely did work. All right, fellas, let's dig into a little bit about your backgrounds and so forth. Sean, you've been here many times.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've been here fourth year, right?
Fourth
year with the Bears. And, I mean, as you continue to develop as a coach, you're learning from different systems, obviously, and different coaches. But at this point, I mean, you have captured exactly the essence of what you're supposed to be doing here for this team, aren't you? And are you ready for the next thing?
Oh, yeah. You know, I think I have. You know, I've been blessed, like you said, to be here for 4 years and learn from a lot of great coaches, you know, a lot of different coordinators, a lot of different personalities. And, you know, all that stuff, for me, I'm just like a sponge. You just absorb it and absorb it and absorb it, and you hopefully can take from it and develop your own philosophies and your own ideas. So then when it's your chance, you know, you'll be ready for it. So I think I'm prepared.
Coach Hightower, you're no rookie. You've been around a while now. 10 years. 10 years in the league.
I think this is year 10. I tell you, it's been a blessing. I agree with Coach Desai on that. Anytime you get a chance to coach in this league for some years and be around such great players and great organizations, it's been nothing but a blessing. So I'm going to do it as long as I can do it.
There you go.
The Bears Coaches Show with assistant coaches Rich Hightower and Sean Desai. And WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
You always say that because that's what it is, physical game. And that's the game we play. So, you know, one guy go down, next man up. It's unfortunate, very unfortunate, but that's just the nature of this game.
That's Willie Young earlier today here at Hallis Hall on the next man up, which has become almost the theme of the season. Sean Desai, Richard Hightower, we were just talking a little bit, fellas. I've certainly never seen the types of injuries wreck an entire team by position. Sometimes one position gets wiped out. That happens from time to time, but it's unique. And you, Sean, with helping out the linebackers, you know, losing guys to suspension on top of it, just things that just typically don't happen. So you've been busy getting guys ready, getting a rookie Nick Kwiatkowski ready. Now you're going to get somebody else ready this week.
Right. You know, I think you're right. You know, the injury thing is sometimes you just catch that bug. But within that, there's also the bright lining of, you know, you get to develop guys. You know, and so you're starting to build for the future and build for now. And, I mean, that's part of our jobs as coaches. You know, we're developing these young men, so it doesn't matter what age they are, or what their background is, or what their experience is in this league or prior to this league. It's now, and so we got to make sure that we're preparing them and do the best that we can to do that.
And the trickle-down certainly impacts special teams.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and that's the fun part of the job, getting a young guy, developing him, making sure that he goes out and can do something to contribute to the team. We take pleasure in that, and we relish in the moment, and it's no excuses, and it's going to be a great challenge this week again, us against San Francisco. So we're up for the challenge. So it's time for us to get to work.
Right, yeah. I know. I'm keeping you from your job.
No, you're
bit.
Good.
So who have you had fun developing this year on teams that's coming on?
I say all of the guys. We got a lot of young guys like Broniker out there playing who has done well. Kwiatkowski, he's developing. You know, it's good to see guys like Dre Houston Carson when he was up and playing a little bit there. Even our older guys are developing. Christian Jones is coming along. He's doing a great job. And those veterans doing a good job with him, Acho and Bellamy and McManus, all those guys. So it's been fun.
Yeah, Bellamy and McManus, we've done stories on them. We talked about that, too. Those two guys must be a heck of a lot of fun to work with. And, you know, they do a lot of ear hustling, right?
Yeah, they do.
A lot of ear hustling going on there. A lot of talking.
They do indeed. They do indeed. They have a lot of fun. And as long as those guys are having fun out there and competing, that's what it's about.
Cheer on your Chicago Bears at Soldier Field this season. Select single game tickets available. Visit ChicagoBears.com for more information. And Sunday's game is brought to you by Beggar's Pizza. The first 30,000 fans to enter Soldier Field receive a Bears tailgate apron courtesy of Beggar's Pizza. Beggar's Pizza, we lay it on thick. Those two guys, Bellamy and McManus, you have to have great speed and great quickness, but you have to understand angles and so forth and be able to get away from blocks in order to be there first and make plays on coverage. Some of that stuff you can't teach, though, right? Some of it is just raw motion and want to?
No doubt about it. You know, there is a technical part to some of it, but some of it is just those guys through watching film study and preparing themselves and just being veteran players. You pick up things, and we're blessed to have those two guys. I mean, they've been a real joy.
How much you guys work at all and even just research with the punting game and with the kicking game and now with the whole extra point thing? It certainly was a big topic a week ago. I think with the weather constantly changing here as you get into the month of December, there's a lot of strategy going to become involved to it, from kickoffs to extra points.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know it obviously impacts the special teams game, but it impacts the offensive and defensive units as well in terms of starting field position, defending a two-point play. You know, you got to be a little bit more ready to defend a two-point play because they're more common now because of, like you said, some of the issues that have been going around the league, and weather impacts a lot of those decisions as well. So it impacts all phases of the game, which I think is good. I think it's been good for the game.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back to the program. Final segment of the Coaches Show here with Richard Hightower, the Bears Special Teams Assistant and Defensive Quality Control Coach Sean Desai. Fellas, a couple of other names I want to throw in there. One guy kind of gets lost a little bit, but he's been obviously doing a very good job. He's been around a bit in this league. Chris Pruszynski, tell me how he's doing, because both Bellamy and McManus have mentioned him quite a bit to me in how he's in doing and so forth.
Yeah, Chris is a true pro, and he works his tail off. I got a lot of respect for Chris. He is obviously one of our guys that is competing to be the top gun every week and be a guy that can stand in front of the room and just be the guy that had the most production. So Chris is another real joy to work with.
And Sean, in your opinion, you know, we have so many young players here now. Who's kind of surprised you in terms, not necessarily his performance, but his personality and so forth, and things that maybe people don't know?
Yeah, you know, specifically with the ILV group, Leonard's been really good. He's got a really good personality. He gets along with the guys really well. He's, you know, really coachable. I mean, he's a sponge, which sometimes you don't always get, you know, and he's just a sponge for information. Nick has been really good as well in the ILB room. Those guys have been a pleasure to work with. Again, they're taking the right approach because they're young and they understand that they're young, and so they're trying to just learn and keep asking questions and meet extra with coaches. They meet extra with players.
Kind of the theme of the rookie class, isn't it?
It has been. You know, yeah. I think, like I said, I can speak defensively. All those guys, Deion Bush is another one. DHC, you know, Houston Carson is another one. DeAndre Hall, all these guys. I mean, they've got a little good bond together. What they get together, they meet, they go out to dinner together. They do a lot of things together, which I think is great when you're talking about building a team and having a good, strong foundation.
All right, 49ers are next. That was your place of employment in 2015, Coach Hightower. So that'll be interesting for you, right? Different staff, obviously.
Yeah, be a great challenge for us. Another challenge to look forward to. And obviously, I know some guys over there, and Coach Swinton, who was here, is obviously there now.
Jerry Swinton, yeah.
Great, good man, great coach. So he has familiarity with us, so that'll be a fun battle.
How's their return game?
The 49ers? They are doing, I would say that they are doing just about what you would expect from Coach Swinton. Doing good job, getting on blocks, exploding through holes, hitting seams. So we got our work cut out for us. We have to go get after them. So it'll be fun.
Well, have fun. They've lost 10 in a row. Those are almost the scary teams when they are in that position right now. So it'll be interesting. Bears and 49ers. Coach Hightower, Coach Desai, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate you having us.
No problem. Glad to have you here. Earlier in the show tonight, Coach Fox on how close the Bears came to victory yesterday.
Yeah, the guys fought. We're down 21-7. You know, I think our fans are so great. I think it kind of dwindled a little bit, but you know, everybody that stayed, I think, saw at least an exciting ending.
Right, competitive, and I guess in this situation, obviously everybody wants the wins, but they want you to competitive to the finish. Last 2 weeks, competitive to the finish, had a chance to win both games or at least tie a game in New York.
Yeah, these guys, we've got good leadership in that locker room, and you know, I think they've been through a lot, but they've kept fighting and kept a positive attitude, and you know, that kind of preparation, it carries over into the game.
You lived it yesterday, you watched it today. Was it hard to watch when you know a player or two you got to win?
Well, I mean, that's the National Football League. You know, I think you know, this is a results-oriented business, and unfortunately, the results or the outcomes, our record at 2-9 doesn't show it. But, I think, a lot of those games, I mean, a lot of these games are close, and they come down to about 4 or 5 plays, and this one was no different.
Danny Trevathan goes down. This player means a lot to you, doesn't he?
For a lot of
reasons.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think, he's had a rough go of it. He had the thumb injury that required surgery, missed some time, and then, just started getting back into the flow, and then, you know, he ruptures his patella tendon, which, that's pretty serious. It'll require surgery, probably in the next week or so once the swelling calms. But he'll start his rehab process, but be ready for next season.
A player like that who's had multiple injuries to overcome like he did a couple of years ago for you in Denver, and I think of Zach Miller when I think about this. I actually ran into his wife yesterday at the game, and it's just that slumped shoulder feeling of, man, we got to go through this again to get to where we need to be. How challenging is that for any person, let alone a National Football League player, and knowing he loves this game, and he has teammates he loves. He became somebody you wanted so badly. You invested in him here. He feels an obligation to the organization, but it's still not simple.
No, I think, all the emotional things that you mentioned aside, I think, just the physical element. I mean, getting the surgery, going through that whole process, being in a hospital, and that's, that's hard, no doubt. There's pain involved. You get back to normal life at home as far as at least sleeping at home, and then you start the rehab process, and it's very long and grueling, and a lot of pain, a lot of painful days, ahead of them.
I know people that may have a very negative view on it because they don't really care because they're getting paid to do this. This is part of their profession. I invite you to go on Twitter, which I don't often say, but some guys are putting pictures of what it looks like, what their injury fit looks like, the black and blue and the ugliness of it. I know Kyle Long has done it. Connor Shaw did it, and then showing his rehab and how he's getting through it. It's flat out nasty. It's nasty looking. I mean, these guys.
Yeah, when you look down and it's yours, it's even it's even more, more ugly. But
yeah.
No, I think, I have a lot of respect for what these guys do and always have. And trust me, I know people look at salaries and all this stuff. They earn every penny. And the injury part of it is, one of the big reasons. There's guys that, have some grueling injuries that are very, very hard to come back from.
All right, 15 on IR. Many of you guys you were counting on to have this team improve from a year ago. How do you address it with your team? I know the whole cliche of next man up and all that is not just cliche, it's reality. But how do you address that woe is me feeling like, oh, my God, we're losing everybody? How do you address it to your team when you stand before them?
Well, I think, you look at the last 2 weeks, I don't think anybody gave us much of a shot. You go to New York and you play, a very, very good New York Giants team. And then same thing with Tennessee. They come in and, they've been competitive all season. They've got a very high pick playing quarterback. And, they have a good football team. And, the guys you send out there, I mean, a la Matt Barkley, that's his first NFL start.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. You can help deserving families by donating a winter coat for the Chicago Bears Jewel Osco Coat Drive. At participating Jewel Osco locations from October 24th through January 1st, donations benefiting the Salvation Army. And the best way to get ready for Sunday's Niners-Bears game is to tune in to Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. on Fox 32 in Chicago, and Sunday night, watch Bears Game Night Live at 10:30 p.m. I'll be there along with Tom Thayer and host Luke Kanellis. For Bears head coach John Fox, assistant coaches Rich Hightower and Sean Desai, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and our studio producer tonight, Rob Hart. Bears Niners from Soldier Field Sunday, 9 a.m. pregame, noon kickoff. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a good night.